gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thanks, everybody, for coming to Stephanie Miller's Violent Torpedo of Truth. To what? You paid your money. What? Charlie Sheen may not mean to get a new opening act. Oh. Maybe Pastor Terry Jones is available. Okay. This hour brought to you by GYN Disposable Single-Use Instruments. Eliminate any risk of exposure to infection or STDs from improperly cleaned or sterilized instruments. Oh. Insist your OB use... single-use instruments. Visit gyndisposables.com for more information.
You pays your $100, you get us to say stuff.
StephanieMiller.com is the website where, oh boy, you can go to the sponsorship page if you want to.
Yeah,
there.
There's a banner ad if you go to StephanieMiller.com. It's right there, front and center. You can pay your $100 and get us to
it's
say anything.
It's been sanitized for your protection.
Yes.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-1, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Lots to get to this morning. We have His Rudeness, the Rude Pundit coming up. Edie McClurg, Mondays with McClurg. A whole big Monday show that always starts with, you know, Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love. Bollard. Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Morning.
Can I just tell you something, Chris? What did I just say about Eric Bollard before we went on the air?
She really, really loves you, Eric.
Seriously. I was just sitting here like a geek that I am, and I said, you know, I love Eric Bollard. A lot of times you write stuff, though, that I think I'm the only one thinking that. And I'm like, yes, yes, because you just it's and it seems like you're pointing out the obvious. But
that's the sad part.
Yeah.
And you can read his stuff by going to MediaMatters.org. And in the blog section, there's a whole bunch of stuff by Eric Bollard.
Where, as you've said, he can eviscerate Fox News with one little tweet.
Yes. Your Twitter feed is awesome, by the way.
Yes. All right.
Thanks.
Enough sucking up now. Your post this week, though. I mean, I always think, is this me? Does the media go out of its way to not report good news for the president? And, you know, your headline is, don't tell Fox News, 84% say Obama is likable in the latest AP poll.
Yeah, what's interesting is that, I mean, that's sort of favorable likability, that's totally different than approval rating. But what's interesting is the entire Fox offensive against Obama, virtually none of it has to do with his policy or his taxes are too high or whatever. It's just personal attacks on him.
Right.
He's this awful, monstrous, arrogant, racist, shallow person. And we hate him with every fiber in our body. And it turns out that, about 16% of the population might feel that way.
Right,
and
right.
And 84% of the country thinks he's a likable guy. What's always struck me is this just runs, the whole offensive runs counterintuitive. Obama is seen as this very mellow, likable guy. People on the left who are upset with him are because he's too mellow and likable. You know, he's not aggressive enough. But this idea you're going to paint Barack Obama as this just sort of angry, hateful man, they're just banging their head against the wall, and they're just going to do it year after year, and I welcome that.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, and, you know, and also the other thing, you know, that I didn't really see anywhere either is that his approval rating in that poll is 53%.
Yeah, and, of course, what was the big news last week in the Beltway in terms of the poll? There was this one, what appears to be completely outlier, Quinnipiac poll, and it came out with Obama at 43%, and everybody covered it, and everyone wrote about it, and oh my gosh, he's down to 43%. If there were basically like 15 polls taken in the month of March, and there was one that had him down at 43%, basically every other poll had him at like 48, 49, 50. AP had him at 53, but amazingly, the only poll that made news in the month of March was the poll that had Obama dropping. So,
and,
you know, it's the old, you know, bad news is big news when it comes to polling.
And that's why I love your next post, because conversely, you know, your headline is, does a Tea Party rally attracting dozens qualify as news? And apparently the answer is still yes.
Oh, yeah. Every Beltway news organization covered this Tea Party rally in D.C. last week. And as a Bloomberg report tactfully noted, this rally attracted dozens of supporters.
Right.
And Slate pointed out it, the ratio was about one reporter for every activist at that rally,
right.
Which is
right.
sort of comically small. Traditionally, in the rally business, in the activism business, you've got to get thousands of people if you're going to get any daily news coverage. Tea Party is at the point where they get dozens,
right.
and the press shows up and types it all up, and it's this grassroots movement, blah, blah, blah.
Right, but you write, you know, more tellingly, it's long past time reporters and pundits started telling the truth about the incredible shrinking Tea Party movement in America, because it's not just that. It's you know,
oh,
the
yeah.
actual numbers they're polling. And yet, literally, you know, Congress right now is being held hostage to this little, this smattering of crazies
yeah.
outside.
And what's interesting is there's today, Nationwide and the 43rd anniversary commemoration of Martin Luther King's death when he was working to help union workers in Memphis. There are union rallies across the country, hundreds of them,
yeah.
and which will attract thousands of people. So will the press give these pro-union rallies the same type of coverage they gave to this tiny, embarrassingly small
right.
Tea
well,
Party rally last week?
Right, and when? You say how many disappointing rallies with crowds numbering in the low hundreds does the Tea Party have to suffer through before the press acknowledges that there's no there? Even our paper, you point out the L.A. Times, politely made no reference to the miniature Tea Party crowd size in its report. I
because
mean,
if you point
yeah,
it out, then
yeah.
readers are going to say, why are you covering a rally that, you know, a Girl Scout troop could probably, you know, match in size. I mean,
right.
if you point out how comically small the rally is, then people are going to say, well, this isn't news. Why are you covering it? And then you have to rethink, why are we covering this? This isn't a grassroots phenomenon. This is sort of a joke.
Yeah, yeah. I think when mini bands start playing the mini crowds,
yeah.
like a mini Kiss tribute band or something, maybe they'll stop. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday, whining as usual.
Of course, we wanted to get the White House view on Libya. However, they chose to offer Secretary of State Clinton and Defense Secretary Gates to ABC, CBS, and NBC, but not to Fox.
Aww.
Despite the fact we routinely have more viewers than two of those Sunday shows, the Obama team felt no need to explain to the millions of you who watch this program and Fox News why they have sent U.S. servicemen and women into combat.
We
thought you'd like to know.
Whining on national TV just does not come out well ever for anyone, and it certainly doesn't work for Chris Wallace. A, the idea that the White House hasn't explained its motivation is a joke, just because if they don't do it on Fox News, it doesn't exist.
It didn't happen, yeah.
B, that show is a ratings doormat. It has been a ratings doormat ever since Fox News hired Chris Wallace. It gets a million viewers every Sunday, and all the others get 2 or 3 million. The only way they can sort of piece together this idea that they get more ratings is if they count the multiple reruns the show gets on
Fox News
yeah. during the day. He's got a last place show. It's a Republican pep rally. His show is completely irrelevant, and then he goes and whines that important people won't appear on his show. Run
yeah.
a legitimate show that gets some actual viewers and stop whining. It's pathetic.
See why I love Eric Bowler?
That's right.
All right. Bill Kristol on Fox News Sunday.
Yeah.
Who we should point out has always been wrong about everything.
Ever.
I think Ryan is the responsible way to cut government.
Paul Ryan.
We have a crisis.
We're mm-hmm.
bankrupt. We're going bankrupt. And Paul Ryan's trying to prevent us from doing that. And I think that could be sold personally. I think it can be sold as policy in politics, though it will get attacked from the right for being too slow and, of course, by President Obama as being too harsh.
Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't we at the Paul Ryan number? Aren't we at the $33 billion?
That's right. What's also interesting is, you know, this the Paul Ryan plan, as the Wall Street Journal points out today, essentially ends Medicare.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if Fox News and its rather elderly audience, if Fox News is how exactly they are tiptoeing around that fact today and tomorrow as the Paul Ryan budget plan is rolled out. That doesn't really go over very well with a 60, 70-plus audience. So it'll be interesting how Fox News plays that.
Yeah. Well, here's
so
how they're... Here's how they're playing Libya. You remember all the concern they expressed over the cost of Iraq.
Mm-hmm. We are paying this because we're paying $55 million a day for the president's ideology of a one-world utopia, which we will play a leading role in. That's what we're paying for, an ideology, and it's coming out of taxpayers' pockets.
No. See, much better in a legal war based on lies. That's you know what, open checkbook for that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're going to argue about the cost, then you have to have argued about the trillions spent on Iraq. You can certainly argue about the cost and whether we can afford this, et cetera, and that's nothing wrong with that argument. But if you sat on your hands during the entire eight years of the Bush administration.
Well, it wasn't even on the books. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah, right. It doesn't, you know, no one's going to take you seriously.
Bob Just, I don't even know who this is.
Yeah, he's some guy that was on the Hannity panel.
He's some guy.
And I think it is sad that our first black president is Barack Obama.
I think that's pretty much tells us why we don't know who that is.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's just sad, Eric, that he's... Because, you know, Fox, I'm sure, would be supportive of any black Democrat that were president now.
Yeah, he's so disappointed that Obama's the first black president. Right. I mean, where else do you turn to get perspective into the minority community in America then?
Fox News.
Exactly. All right. The delightful Eric Bollert remains in the sidecar as we continue Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
This portion of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, certified pre-owned vehicles, certified affordable luxury. 21 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollert from Media Matters rejoins us to continue Right Wing World. Sean Hannity on Libya.
Here's the problem with flimsy, inconsistent, an incoherent message from the White House and the Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense. Here's the problem. Gaddafi has proven that when he uses his superior military power, remember, the rebels were surrounding Tripoli, he will crush them.
Why does he hate America so much, Eric?
I was gonna say, it's almost like he's rooting for Gaddafi.
Why does he hate the troops?
Isn't that exactly, you know, what Fox News, advertised during the Iraq War, that anyone who raised any doubts about a White House foreign policy hated the troops, hated America, wanted the terrorists to win? And he's got no sense of self-awareness or irony or anything. I mean, you play that entire clip, and you air it in 2003 or 2004, and you know, it's the exact same thing. You know, critics of the war were saying about Bush, and Hannity was apoplectic.
And then
anyone would raise questions about Bush's leadership.
Yes, then he seemed to be a big fan of the bringing of the freedom.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh,
boy. Chris Holton on Beck TV.
Promoting Sharia is something that we should not have here in America because Sharia is the enemy threat doctrine.
Don't have it.
It is the goal of groups like Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, and Hamas. It is antithetical to everything that's in our Constitution. And in fact, in my opinion, it is the biggest threat to our constitutional rights over the next 25 years in this country.
Mm. You know what seems a bigger threat in terms of religious extremism here would be Pastor Terry Jones, if you're going to start body counts.
Extremist Christians.
Uh-huh. Well, the beauty is you pick a cause and you rally around it and you say, you know, it'll destroy the Constitution. But the beauty is you pick something that offers no threat.
Right.
I mean, where is the Sharia wave in America?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the ultimate straw man, and it's just sort of comical.
Yes. All right. Mike Huckabee on the Fox News to finish up.
Maybe there is a case to legally challenge whether or not the government has the authority to, in essence, secretly give money to unions that they don't give to all employees. I think the courts will ultimately rule that it is unconstitutional, that it is forcing people to buy a product in the private sector marketplace in order to really be citizens. It's the equivalent of a modern-day poll tax.
Health care reform is a modern-day poll tax.
Yes.
Wow.
He should have thought of that a year or so ago.
Yeah.
Fox would have loved that. It took him like 16 months to come up with that logic.
Brand new birther, Mike Huckabee. Yeah. All right. By the way, Eric, before you go, I had to save the story for you because this is just... This is too rich. Fox News host Glenn Beck says Donald Trump is making him a little uncomfortable recently. What with his wild, crazy claims. Just when you wondered, what does it take to make Beck uncomfortable? Who would be too over the top, apparently? Donald Trump.
When Glenn Beck tells you your conspiracy has too many holes in it, it's time to pack it.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. I love this. He was critiquing Bill O'Reilly's two-part interview with Trump, where, oh, by the way, Trump went one more. Eric, I don't know if you saw that. He declared Obama doesn't have a birth certificate and added he might not be showing one because it might say that he's a Muslim.
That's right.
And now this is too much for Glenn Beck.
Right. You can't say Obama's a Muslim. Beck draws the line. Just some random, completely random line. Beck has said everything else about the president.
Right.
But apparently
he's calling him
a Muslim.
Right. He's a racist, socialist, communist. Right. And that's fine. But yeah, I love this. And he also added the nation doesn't need a showboat, referring to Donald Trump.
Wow.
Some wild attention whore.
He's a true fearmonger.
Yeah, exactly. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America. Always a delight, sir.
Talk to you soon.
All right, see
you. Bye-bye.
Aw.
I just love him. All right. By the way, did the boner look like he's about to cry? We were just talking with Eric about how teeny tiny the Tea Party has become. I do think they're going to have to start having minibands play.
There were tens of people.
Scads.
You show up everything you got.
There's the boner. I think he looked like he was going to be a weeping orange boner in a moment because he literally, did you see him? He was like, we're one half of one third of the government. I can't. Senate Majority.
We have him saying that.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid was on with Bob Schieffer yesterday, mm-hmm. and he said the only attention the Tea Party still gets is in the House and ridiculing the crowd count. He said in the tens. Little Harry made a joke there. It was in the tens, the people at the. Schieffer said, are you saying that Speaker Boehner and the Republicans are afraid of the Tea Party? Reid said, that's a pretty good choice of words. The answer is yes. The Tea Party is dictating a lot that goes on with the Republicans in the House. And I'm just saying, he looked ready to, you know.
We control one half of one third of the government here in Washington. We can't impose our will on another body. We can't impose our will on the Senate.
What?
All we can do is to fight for all of the spending cuts that we can get an agreement to.
Wow.
That was a press conference for the Tea Party.
Yeah, it was.
It was like a little, listen, I know what that little twit Eric Cantor just said, but guess what? We can't do it all by ourselves. I still can't believe Eric Cantor said that and was not just roundly humiliated.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go on television and go, you don't, what did he say exactly? If you don't pass the House version by Friday, or if you don't pass the Senate version, then the House version's the law. Ha!
Does he know how the government works? You know, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union?
What? Exactly.
I'm just a bill. I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
What kind of liberal media is this, where people didn't just go, you are a complete moron with no business in public office, since you clearly have no idea how the actual government of the United States of America works? I mean,
At least the boner knows that he only controls one half of one third of the government.
Don't you wish he just looked in the camera and said, you idiot, Cantor. Stop trying to suck up to the teabaggers. All right, so this is a big week. A lot of stuff going on. Big week for the budget. Friday at midnight, if we don't get a deal, there would be a shutdown. Shut her down.
If these budget negotiations break down, we could end up having to shut down the government. Just at a time when the economy is starting to recover.
Yeah, the best job numbers in 2 years. And I'm telling you, Chris, this is. I don't think a conspiracy theory. We're going into an election year.
Yeah.
They don't want the economy to improve.
They don't. It's good for Republicans for some reason.
Yes, exactly. All right, lots to get to. 29 minutes after the hour. His rudeness, particularly rude. A lot of things I can't read on the Little Family Radio Show from the Rude Pundit this week as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Information is
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, it's time to get rude.
It's Lee Poppet, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Come to Mama Papa. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's. I know that it's a really good blog at Rude Pundit.
Stopblogspot.com.
Yes, exactly. When I have to, like, take the first two pages and just throw them out, I'm like, okay, well, I can't read any of that on the air.
Beautiful.
However, lots of great stuff as usual. And by the way, you make the point that I make all the time, and yet it's still an argument within my own family. About the fact that this is not my dad and Goldwater's Republican Party anymore. I mean, but you write, Eisenhower Republicans, of whom my dad was one, would think today's GOP is filled with barking mad idiots and then wonder why in the would leaders pay attention in any way, shape, or form to the maddest of them all. Conservative has been co-opted and remade in the image of the extremists, much in the way that Christian now generally means fundamentalist in the United States. Whatever Buckley-esque resonances of decades past you may want it to have, conservative now means a devotion to untenable financial policies, the needs of the corporations, the very wealthy, regressive social policies, and indeed belief in things that are demonstratively false. I say bully, sir.
Well, thank you, thank you. I'm always up for redefining words. It's Sarah Palin's world. We can make them up or redefine them.
Right, but I mean, it's what we've been talking. We were just talking about with Eric Boehler. I mean, look at this the Tea Party. It's how small do these rallies have to get, and yet the Republican Party is hostage to this little tiny gang of nutcakes.
It's really amazing. It's something that going back to the anti-war rallies. Back in 2003 and 2004, wondering why didn't they get half the coverage that every time a Tea Partier farts in public, that the coverage that gets.
Exactly. No, exactly. But I just think it can't be said enough that these are not at least any version of Republicans that I recognize. And I was saying that in the Bush administration. I mean, don't you think this is even more extreme? This is you and I never thought we'd see anything more extreme than the Bush administration.
No, it keeps going. It's funny. You know, you go back and you listen to the shows that you did back then, or I look at some of the blog posts thinking this is as radical can get. And now we're at the point where there's a point where the right just sort of the arrow falls off the line, and we're really pushing that. What Paul Ryan has proposed, for instance, the complete gutting of Medicare, absurd. It's not just regressive, it's punitive.
Yeah. I can't remember which guest it was. I don't know if you saw it, Bill Maher this week, but said if the Republican Party moves to the right, how will we notice?
Yeah.
Is there any room left to go?
Other than, I guess, cross-burning and lynchings, I suppose that's really about the only other place they have to go. Oh, and jackboots, you know?
Yes.
But, of course, we're the Nazis. They're not the Nazis.
Oh, you did make a note, too. Unless it becomes absolutely necessary because some event or other. This is the last time, Rude Pundit, we'll talk about the godforsaken tartary of birtherism. Because that's how bad it's gotten.
F tartary?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Beep tartary, yeah.
Yes.
it's a part of beep tardation, so. There's...
Well, you say, I mean, this is really the crux of it. You say, for many on the right, it's not enough to disagree with the president. It's not enough to oppose his policy. He has to be delegitimized.
Yeah. And that's the way that Republicans have been doing it, all along. I mean, since Carter, at least, when Carter came in and messed up their nice little town, then they did the same thing with Clinton. You know, Clinton had to be delegitimized. He was a coke snorting murderer who was just having sex everywhere in the White House, in the Lincoln bedroom, on the bed that Lincoln died in. He was having sex. You know, it wasn't bad enough that you could just say, you know, I disagree with his views of the military policy. I disagree with health care reform.
Right. I mean, you're right. It's the delegitimizing they did to Clinton, but with the racism lasagna on top. You know, you're right, because birthers will insist that really all they want is to make sure the Constitution's upheld and we're not being led by a false idol who will bring about a Muslim, atheist, gay apocalypse and the secret commie sauce on top, and that they're not racist at all.
Right, right. Because it makes so much sense to do this otherwise. You know, there's... honestly, they should say, no, we're doing this because we're racist, because then it actually makes sense. There's no sense to it. There's no context for it other than we want Joe Biden to be president. That's okay. I mean, that, I guess that's a position you could have.
Yeah, I love, we just played in Right Wing World a guy on Fox actually saying it's kind of sad that he's the first black president.
As if
they'd be really supportive of any other black guy but him.
Like Herman, wasn't that Herman Cain? That was a black Republican that said that.
No, it was just a guest.
I think they were talking about Herman Cain when that guy said it.
Oh, okay, yeah. That wasn't Herman Cain.
No.
Really? So some white guy said this is bad, this is the first black, wow.
Yeah, he's the wrong kind of black guy. Any other black guy we'd be good with.
Yeah, we'd be good with a Clarence Thomas.
Yeah.
As long as there's Thomas in the name, we're good.
So you write something seriously beyond when, in order to be considered having a real shot at winning Republican primaries, you've got to go nutsoid anti-choice and anti-gay, but you've got to at least leave the door open for genuine madness in order to appease the inmates at the asylum. I mean, you're right. All of them have had to at least do a little tip of the hat to birtherism, right?
And any conservatives that you talk to, any conservatives that are actually out there, whether they're in Congress or just in the media, you talk to them privately, and they will say that they don't believe any of this, but it's just a way of exciting the yahoos and keeping them interested, and it's also a huge distraction from the, again, punitive policies towards the poor and middle class that Republicans are foisting on the public.
Yep. So this one I love. Bill O'Reilly, it's just a perfect example of how Fox reports quote-unquote news. Bill O'Reilly said of the massive budget cut protests in London, socialist protests broke out over the weekend. About 250,000 far-left malcontents demonstrated around Trafalgar Square, protesting $130 billion in British spending cuts. Perhaps 200 were arrested as they broke into stores and caused all kinds of trouble. Dozens injured, a number of police officers as well, millions of dollars in damage. Once again, the world sees what the far-left wants, to impose chaos. So there you go.
Yeah, and you know, for most of the march, for the whole day of the march to Hyde Park in London, which again got virtually no coverage in the U.S. media at all, that it was a peaceful march of families and old people and school teachers who just don't want their health care and everything, education cut, and college students didn't want their tuition raised.
Right.
And of course, you know, the jerks got involved and thought, you know, a lot of them were like the guys from Train Spotting, you know, like the. They were just decided, hey, this is a time that we can beat up on people and break stuff. So, but that of course represents all of us.
They had to ice their groin down trying to make the Madison protests sound dangerous and violent, you know.
And not just that, but evil. It's like they're coming to get you. The leftists are out to get you. They're gonna raid your homes. They're gonna break the windows on your Starbucks. You better watch out. Them leftists are coming.
Yeah. Well, you and I love you, right? You know who didn't think it was a bunch of malcontents imposing chaos? Scotland Yard. British police commander said the march by the trade union Congress has been going well. We've had more than 250,000 people with hardly any problems. The policing minister declared the violence was the work of a small minority of individuals in the midst of a peaceful protest. But if you watched Fox News, you thought that hordes of Bolsheviks and Hottentots were ruining the royal wedding.
Hottentots.
Hottentots.
You don't hear that often.
You got to be careful of the Hottentots.
Yeah.
You know, once they get a hold of things, the whole place just goes to hell.
Oh, boy. So, you know, obviously you write a lot about religious extremists and yada, yada. Where do you even start with this Pastor Terry, what's his name?
Terry Jones.
Yeah.
Sad that he has the same name as a Monty Python member, very liberal Monty Python member.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the thing about free speech is just because you have the ability to put your head between your legs and fellate yourself doesn't mean you need to do it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what, you know, exactly. It's like the why does a dog lick his because he can.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, of course, you know, this guy, Yosemite Sam, went into a store and bought a Koran, and it's his property. You know, he can do what he wants. You know, I could burn a Bible and pee on the ashes if I wanted to. It's my property.
Yeah.
Same thing. But anybody who, but then, I also have a, I mean, you know, of course you can't distinguish this from saying that people have individual responsibility over in Afghanistan not to behead UN workers.
Yeah, yeah. I know, I mean, it just...
It's religious extremists on both sides.
Absolutely. That's the problem.
Yeah, interesting you brought up free speech. Lindsey Graham.
Free speech is a great idea, but we're in a war. During World War II, you had limits on what you could say if it would inspire the enemy. So burning a Quran is a terrible thing, but it doesn't justify killing someone. Burning a Bible would be a terrible thing, but it wouldn't justify murder. But having said that, anytime we can push back here in America against actions like this that put our troops at risk, we ought to do it.
Yeah, I mean, this jerk, Pastor, you know, Terry Jones, I mean, he literally is unrepentant, saying, what? Oh, well, see, it's almost like, you know, Rude, he did it to go out to prove his point. Oh, see? They're violent.
But I have a problem with Lindsey Graham saying, oh, yeah, free speech is a good idea and all, but we're in a war.
Yeah, but Chris, I think it does. That's what I'm saying, Rude. It comes awfully close to the line when you're getting Americans killed, you know? I mean, it's awfully close to fire in a crowded theater, isn't it?
But again, this is the hard part about free speech, isn't it? You have to defend Jones's right to be able to do it.
Yeah.
And you know, that's free speech is an ugly thing, and that's kind of the way it was intended.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll have him explain to all those people while they'll be missing their loved ones for the rest of their lives.
Well,
so, you know?
I think they should send him to Afghanistan as a free speech to explain free speech to the Afghan people.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes.
Well, also, Lindsey Graham said we're in a time of war. Well, we've been in a time of war for over 10 years now. When do we get free speech back?
Yeah.
Lindsey?
No free speech for you. Don't get that.
Yeah. He's walking on a really slippery slope there, I think.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, and if you're a free speech absolutist, then you say that there can't be any contingency like that, that free speech came out of a war,
mm-hmm.
that free speech is what started America in the first place, was defending that right during a war.
Right.
Is it wrong to hope that Yosemite Sam gets eaten by a barracuda, though? Is that
No.
I'm covered under my free speech saying that.
That's right.
You can absolutely hope, as long as you don't hope that you go down and do anything to him, like, you know, yank off the mustache or set it on fire.
Yes.
And
set
his mustache on fire. That's the next movement.
Let's send the Bronx Zoo python down to eat him.
All right. Your rudeness, you are particularly rude and funny this week. Check it out, rudepundit.blogspot.com.
Yes.
See you next week, honey.
All righty.
There he goes. He's got himself a podcast and a book and all. Go check it out.
Yeah. Check all of that out at rudepundit.blogspot.com.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge.
Warm it up. 51 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Kevin in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I was just listening to your show, and I really, the thing about this pastor in Florida just really upset me. And I really believe in free speech, but, I mean, this gentleman went a little bit too far. I mean, attacking an entire religious group in the world is just, you know, kind of beyond me. And I really think that what should be done for this church and this gentleman, anyone who else was in that church or follows this man, maybe Southwest could donate a couple planes, those 737s.
Yeah.
We could load them on there, and then they could go over to Afghanistan and explain their point in person.
Yes.
Because you know how much more can be done in person than just from 8,000 miles away. You know?
And there are only 30 members of his church, by the way. It's not like it's a big mega church.
Well, I mean, Kevin, and this is the thing, you know, in terms of, you know, the dilemma about giving him attention. I mean, the fact that we're even talking about him and saying his name, this is what he wants. He wants publicity,
right.
And yet, you know, you have to cover the news, I suppose. And it's like, what, you're right, where does it stop? He's gotten what he wants now, and a lot of people are dead.
And what is free speech? I mean, if we, you know, I mean, can we burn our president in effigy in our country? I mean, I think we'd have the Secret Service all over us if we did that. So, you know, here, this is a very important document to these people. And I don't blame them for being passionate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This guy's just a nutcase.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. General Petraeus this weekend.
That action was hateful. It was intolerant. And it was extremely disrespectful.
I mean, this is the problem. You remember last time, Chris, it's, you know, you have the president and the secretary of state and the defense secretary of the United States of America giving this guy attention, you know, and warding this off the last time. And this is like, this is what happens in our 24-hour news cycle.
Well, you know what? He went ahead and did it, and there was no news coverage about it. I didn't hear about the Quran burning until after the UN workers in Afghanistan were killed.
I know, yeah. Tough to do that sort of thing quietly.
How did the people in Afghanistan hear about it before those of us in the United States
hear? You can't get away with that.
No,
in this media culture, I mean, forget it. Are you kidding me? With the internet, you can. Anyway. So Terry Jones remained unrepentant on Saturday. He said he was saddened and moved by the deaths. Isn't that nice?
Moved.
But given the chance, he'd do it all over again.
Of course he would.
He said it was intended to stir the pot. If you don't shake the boat, everyone will stay in their complacency. Yeah, you got to get a bunch of people dead. That's the only way to make your point.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally, it's not at all easy. People have tried to make us responsible for the people who are killed. Isn't that crazy? Why would people do that? This is all about him, you see. It's unfair and somewhat damaging. So, see, that's been the real damage here, is the damage to his reputation, Chris. Yeah, that's what's really unfair here. Violent protests against the burning continued on Saturday in Afghanistan, where 9 people were killed, 81 injured. The previous day, 12 people were killed when the mob stormed the UN building. Did our action provoke them, the pastor asked? Of course. Is it a provocation that can be justified? Is it a provocation that should lead to death? When lawyers provoke me, when banks provoke me, when reporters provoke me, I can't kill them. That wouldn't fly. See, this is what I was thinking. He wanted this to happen so he could go, oh, well, see, I told you what they're like. He keeps, by the way, I just thought this was a little fun fact about Pastor Terry Jones. Yeah, he keeps a Bible in a worn brown leather cover by his side because he's a man of God.
Sure.
And also a Braveheart poster within sight. Kind of a shock that he's a Mel Gibson fan, isn't it?
Hmm.
Because he's brave. It's brave what he did.
Oh, yes, of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go to Lori in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Lori.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, guys.
Hi.
I was watching Morning Joe early today, and the brilliant Professor Jeffrey Sachs from Columbia University was on, and they were discussing, you know, Ryan and you know, the Ryan's proposal, tax cuts, and so on and so forth. And it was very interesting. Mark Halperin of Time magazine was on the panel, and, you know, Jeffrey Sachs pointed out that, you know, 70% of Americans want, you know, tax increases for the rich, you know, cuts in defense, so on and so forth. And Mark Halperin asked, well, where are these people? You don't see them. And Professor Sachs, you know, just sort of looked at him and said, you know, they are in the streets. It started with Wisconsin. And the look on Halperin's face was just, you know, sort of like, oh, you know, that little thing. Yeah, you know, completely ignoring, you know, the protests in Wisconsin, spreading to Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio. Yeah, the media.
Yeah,
just will
the
not
month, months, the months or weeks long, 100,000 plus, you know,
exactly.
People
and
in the streets.
100,000 in Madison 3 weeks ago. Yeah, Mark Halperin got schooled and he didn't like it. But
Lori, it's what we're
talking about.
It's what we've been talking about all morning, and yet they cover this teabag rally that literally I'm not even sure. Maybe 100 is what they're saying. There are maybe 100 people.
Oh yeah, you know, and the sickening thing was, Stephanie, I was channel surfing this weekend. I saw, you know, coverage of it. You know, they showed a recording of it on C-SPAN this weekend. I didn't see anything on C-SPAN covering the 100,000 plus Wisconsin rally 3 weeks ago.
Yep, exactly. All right, let's go to Sue in Dearborn. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Sue.
Hi, Stephanie.
Did
How
you,
are you guys?
Did you go to the big Charlie Sheen show?
Oh, no, but I heard it was terrible.
Yeah, everybody heard it was terrible.
They were demanding their money back. I had a few friends I saw on Facebook saying that what a waste of money and time that was.
But, yikes,
What do you expect from a car wreck.
Yeah. Somebody wrote something about that. If it's something you can see on public transportation at 4 in the morning, you probably shouldn't pay money to see
right.
it.
I don't know. Just something innate in us humans that we want to see people burn go down the flames. I don't know.
Yeah, poor it's guy. Like a car wreck. I know. All right, go
we
ahead, Sue.
Help.
You were going to talk
just
about.
I was saying that. Yeah, I don't know if you guys heard, but Pastor Jones is coming to Dearborn on Good Friday of all days to protest in front of the Islamic Center
right.
against the extreme American Muslims, which is ridiculous.
And Dearborn has the largest Muslim population
yes.
of any city in the United States.
Which I belong to.
Right.
But, I don't mind attention being brought onto Dearborn because, honestly, if you want to know how real American Muslims live, come here and see. We've been here, 100 years. Some people have
yep.
been here.
Yep.
And, we're peaceful, loving, American-loving people, and it's ridiculous.
Maybe.
You're coming to protest Sharia law and Islamic law. And you know what's so funny is that people don't understand that in Islamic law, we're obligated to obey the laws of the country we live in.
Mm-hmm. What?
And Sharia law That's doesn't crazy. Even pertain to where you're living, unless you're living in an Islamic country.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I think he's going to take my advice. He's going to be Charlie Sheen's new opening act.
Good point.
We tried Detroit again. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, Jim's going to be booking his trip to Madison.
Yep.
Passion Parties by Colleen in Madison, Wisconsin, helping women all over the United States and Canada with lotions and potions and things
Ooh.
That will make you wiggle and giggle.
Wiggle and giggle.
Taking action to make our country a little less stressful, one party at a time. PassionsByColleen.com. Check it out. This hour brought to you by...
Do you giggle first or wiggle first?
Not well. I'm Perhaps sure Colleen would be happy
time.
To show you.
Hmm.
Should you make a little trip to Madison? StephanieMiller.com, the website.
You know how Colleen got you to read that on the air?
By giving me $100.
And going to StephanieMiller.com, clicking on that little banner. You can do it, too.
It used to only take $50 to make me holler. But,
Yeah, inflation.
Listen. I'm a high class hoe now.
Uh-huh.
All right, StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. Thanks for all the letters. I was on, Hollywood Uncensored
mm-hmm.
with Sam Rubin on the Reels chip. Some people do get it, as it turns out. Mama was on a panel on the new Kennedys miniseries hit piece.
Hmm? Oh.
And anyway, the show reels again today, 12:30 Eastern yep. and 5:30 p.m. Eastern on the Reels channel.
I get the Reels channel.
Well, good for you. All right, I got a, I was saying earlier, Jim, that the boner does look like he was about to cry. Because he's done the math. We're only in one half or one third of the government. I can't do it on myself.
I didn't think I could do math when I'm drunk. I just think that.
Yeah. Yeah,
we control one half of one third of the government here in Washington. We can't impose our will on another body. We can't impose our will on the Senate. All we can do is to fight for all of the spending cuts that we can get an agreement to.
I can't do it, teabaggers. Stop bothering me. Just in time, we have been sent a recipe for a weeping orange boner.
Oh, right.
It's actually two parts vodka. One part orange food coloring and three parts bitters.
Ah.
Warning, may cause uncontrollable weeping and leave a bad taste in your mouth. It's a weeping orange boner. Oh, goodness. I believe children are the future. This is,
I believe the children are.
Oh, Jim, the tots. Toddler craving fries found at Walmart. A San Francisco Bay Area toddler.
Who doesn't crave fries?
Has been reunited with his mother after apparently stepping out for a bite to eat. He's two. He was found in the parking lot of a Walmart wearing only a white T-shirt and a diaper around 3 a.m. Who hasn't that happened to? The police says he told investigators he wanted McDonald's French fries. There's a McDonald's in the Walmart there. The boy appears to have awoken in the middle of the night, opened the front door of his apartment, headed out crossing four lanes of traffic.
Wow.
His mother called 911 when she woke at 6 a.m. to report her child missing. Why be so clingy? He just went out for a bite. Just went out for some fries.
Is that Ambien eating?
Yeah.
Wow.
He shouldn't be giving the baby Ambien.
Yikes. All right. We've been talking about Pastor Yosemite Sam. Hello, Mary in Sacramento.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
One of the things that people talk about, you know, this guy has the freedom to burn the book in the United States.
Yeah.
All fine and good. But reasons for people to burn a book is to keep other people from reading it, so he's infringing on other people's freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And I've been on Democratic Underground yesterday fighting over this issue
mm-hmm.
with people, and somebody did some research on him. Apparently he was a graduate, 1969, with Rush Limbaugh.
A graduate of what?
He was graduated from some school, I guess, with Rush Limbaugh.
Oh.
Oh, he went to school with Rush Limbaugh?
That's what they're saying. Oh. I didn't verify that. No. I don't know if
I'm sure
true.
They were on the track team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also involved in a Maranatha Ministries in high school.
Mm. What's
and
that?
And there's some issues of him going to Germany, and they actually kicked him out. So
yeah.
Basically, it's not really a legitimate church. Only 50 members. It's really like a...
Yeah, by the way,
store or something. There's a lot of.
By the way, Mary, do you get a Waco-ish feeling about this? He said, "I don't feel right now personally afraid, but we are armed." I'm like, oh boy, you know, not sure how this is all gonna.
That's a luxury of living in our country. I mean,
yeah.
My question that I was asking everybody is, what are the names of these people who died?
Yeah.
I mean, these people have families.
I know.
I would be so angry if I had. You know, put my life on the line to help another, you know, person and the others, these other people responsible for killing me. But it's like, gosh, you know, don't hit the beehive, you know, don't,
yeah.
You know, we're trying to make strides with countries and
I
love Obama. I love what he's doing. I respect other people's, you know, beliefs and stuff, but.
No, I mean, this guy is just, I mean, A, he's 10 kinds of crazy, Mary. I mean, you know, he did a mock trial. He said, oh, because it was a trial, that added heft to his decision. Because you're crazy and you did a...
It's the same God.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
the same God.
Yeah.
And,
oh, by the way, you love this part, too. He says he's read only portions of the Quran, not the entire text.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
He didn't bother
like,
with that.
But the other thing,
Stephen,
and I missed the first part of your show because I sleep in because I'm retired now. But
how dare you?
Anyway, I'm sorry. I worked 36 years. So I deserved it. Anyway, he was offered a car not to burn it. And he did. And he, I guess, got the car and didn't burn it, but, you know, to save face, but, you know, because he didn't want to cause anything. But it's like money does things to people.
Yeah, but, Mary, we also, like, God, we can't get into an ongoing hostage crisis with
exactly.
the lunatics in our country.
A,
it's
a
like,
blackmail.
Well, yeah, exactly. Oh, we'll give you a car if you don't do that lunatic thing. I mean, it's just...
You know, what would Jesus do? And, you know, I'm an atheist like Chris. I love you, Chris.
Yeah, love you, too.
And it's like, you guys cause more problems.
Yep.
Than anything, and you know.
Well, yeah, as Chris said, religious extremists on both ends.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really remember any atheists causing problems like this. Do you, Mary?
No, not you know the bloody death.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Just the viciousness, the you know the insurrections, the you know the hanging of a dead person on a cross and then wearing it around your neck as a symbol.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
I don't either, honestly.
All right, now we've just offended a bunch of people. All right, Mary, thank you for calling. All right.
What?
Oh, for God's sakes.
Oh, my God.
Just for God's sakes?
For God?
Really?
Oh, boy. Let's move on. Richard in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I think people need to, like, as I've done, is rebel against these people. When they say burn this book or don't read this book, that should be a red flag to say, oh, there must be some good stuff in that book that you feel so strongly that you want to protect me from reading it as if words are going to be so harmful and hurtful. Like when they banned said to Salman Rushdie and they threatened his life, I bought the book. I never have read it, but I bought
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right.
Or the Last Temptation of Christ, they're telling us not to go see it. I'm going to go see
That's
it.
That's right.
I'm going to decide for
get
myself.
It on DVD. Yeah.
And when you read these books, be careful not to let yourself
have your mind made up beforehand, because in that case, it really isn't worth reading if you've already decided this book is no good or this book is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Read it and then make up your mind. That's the thinking.
Well,
I
mean,
you want to control your mind.
Just when I thought I couldn't get any angrier at this guy, and I read that part, that he hasn't even bothered to read the whole Koran.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just, you
I'm
know.
Sure he I'm sure, yeah. And if he did read it, though, he'd focus on anything that would feed his fat ego to make his religion feel superior and make them look and feel bad. And you need to stop and say, no, you're not going to influence me with your bullying and your brainwashing. And it's not easy because it's all over the place. It's not just these type of people.
Well, if he'd bothered to read the Quran, he would know that Jesus is mentioned in there a lot. He's the second most popular prophet in the Quran.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, you know, the thing about right-wingers and the First Amendment, they don't understand that, yeah, you have the right to say whatever you want, but there doesn't mean there aren't consequences.
Yeah, there are going to be consequences
Dr. Laura,
for this guy.
Dr. Laura. And your consequences, you get a multi-million dollar contract for satellite radio now.
Well,
so there, take that.
I can't believe she went around saying that her First Amendment rights were taken away from her.
Please.
God.
Ken would like to take exception to you, you godless communist.
Okay.
Ken,
yes, I kill people, don't I, Ken?
Yeah. Ken in Pennsylvania.
The first thing I'd like to say is that atheists are responsible for more deaths by human beings than anybody in the world. You take a look at Stalin. You take a look at Mao. You take a look at Pol Pot. All these people are responsible for the deaths of millions and millions.
All atheists are communists.
So all atheists are communists?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. You just shot your argument right out of the room right there, Ken.
You people will burn a Bible. You desecrate any Christian.
I've never burned a Bible.
And you'll call it art.
I've never burned a Bible, Ken.
You get your shorts in a binge over somebody burning a book.
Also, Hitler believed in God.
Jeff called.
Ken.
And
I've never burned a Bible.
Well, I don't care whether you burn one or not.
You just told me I have.
Well, I would say people of your ilk, okay?
Oh, of my ilk. Oh, okay.
You put it in the Metropolitan Museum of Art. You put a crucifix in a jar.
That was never. That was never in the Metropolitan Museum of Art, Ken.
That's something great.
All right, Ken. Thanks for calling. All right.
And I didn't think that was a good piece of art anyway.
I didn't want to make his head explode, but I was going to tell him I've never had an abortion, but I didn't want to get too incendiary. Okay, because that would he just would throw him off about you people, all of you people, Bible burning.
I hope God smites you just to prove a point.
Okay,
never loving God, Jesus, kill the atheists, please, oh Lord. Set them on fire.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on that there, try it free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Promo code Stephanie. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Well, now you went and did it, you godless communist. Look at all the phone calls.
No, Ken called me a communist. What? You're not allowed to call me a communist.
Russ in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thank you. You guys are way too mature and far too polite to call Ken an idiot, but I'll say he's a moron.
Thank you.
Well, yeah.
Because he's trying to equate these people's atheism with their murders. Their atheism didn't impact these millions of killings, while the religious faith of these Muslim extremists directly impacts what they're doing, just like the Christian crusaders did.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to say that it was atheism that drove these people to these horrific slaughters is ridiculous.
Yes. Yep. All right. Thank you. Let's go to Scott. Sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's the same argument they make when they accuse Hitler of being a leftist.
Yeah.
Because he believed
in
public housing and the Autobahn.
And he liked animals, so it's because he's pro-animal welfare.
Right.
But
I'd like to tell Ken that I've actually read the Bible. I've never burned the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Ken has probably ever read the entire Bible.
Oh, sure he has, in the original Old Greek.
Scott in Ithaca. Hello, Scott.
Hey, how you doing? Have you ever gotten burned by something you did that you weren't supposed to do in the Bible? That's another way of looking at it. But the reason I'm calling is a more polite call, but the guy who burned the Quran down south, my only statement is that I truly believe that he actually caused death in another country by what he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Well, yeah, of course.
I think there's a direct causation there.
Yeah. By the way, President Karzai expressed regret for the 20 protest deaths, but also further stoked possible anti-foreign sentiment by again demanding the U.S. and the U.N. bring to justice this pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, this is the problem, is, you know, people don't understand in some sections, I'm sure, our free speech, that, you know, we can't charge them with anything.
Right.
And I love this part. Many Afghans didn't know about the Quran burning until Karzai condemned it 4 days after it happened. Don't! Oh! It just gets worse and worse, you know? That's the problem.
Well, he's probably trying to ingratiate himself with the Taliban. Because
Ruth. Ruth in Minneapolis. Hey, Ruth.
Hi. I'm just calling with regards to the talk about news radio or news broadcasts or media in this country. We should stop calling it liberal media and start making people start calling C-SPAN and other places that are not advertising all the people that are out on the streets upset about what's going on, instead of putting the Tea Party on constantly and telling us what a great movement this is.
Yeah. Well, Eric Bollert was saying, Jim, last hour, like, how much smaller do these things have to get before they stop covering them seriously?
When we need an electron microscope to find the meetings.
Exactly. Steve in Long Island on what's his pastor. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
It seems that everything that they are railing against just mirrors what the Taliban wants to do. It's amazing. They want to control speech. They want to control you in the bedroom. They want to control women's rights. They want to control women's bodies, which no man has control over another person's body. An animal, maybe, but a person, no. Really.
Yeah, you're right. It's all religious extremism.
Yeah, and believe me, no matter what you say to them, it isn't going to happen. They're never going to get it, because it's all about that damn Bible.
Yeah, Yolanda
Bible
bashing.
No.
Hello, Yolanda in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Yolanda.
Hi. My comment was, I really love Chris. I love his laugh. But the whole thing, trying to condemn a whole group of people, whether it's a group of Christians, a group of Islams, a group of atheists, is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We are all in the same boat. Everything.
Well, Yolanda, I think
all take a page of it and take some blame for stuff. So to try to say, oh, all of the wars and that kind of thing is by these religious people. My point of view is, I don't know if these people were religious. They were doing things in the name of a religion.
Right.
But this guy that burned this Quran was no more religious than a light pole I just passed.
Well, Yolanda, I think that's the point, is that, you know, he perverts Christianity the same way Islamic extremists pervert Islam.
Right. And I just, you know, like I said, I just don't want us to get into, oh, it's all of this or all of that. It is not.
No, you're absolutely right.
All right. She had to get that out.
If she's absolutely right, then that would be in the all of this category.
Did she think I said that all religious people are to blame?
I'm always happy to make you a human sacrifice.
I know you are. Thanks.
Stephanie in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hey, how you doing? This will be the official wisdom of Stephanie Miller Show today. My grandmother told me a poem that stops all this name calling. It says there's so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us, it doesn't behoove any of us to talk about the rest of us.
Wow. That was kind of twisty for a Monday morning, but it was really good. Thank you, Steph.
I need more sleep to digest that.
Yeah.
Oh, listener Stephen from Indiana says, hey, let's burn the original negative of Braveheart. That'll teach that Quran burning guy.
I found that a shock that he's a Mel Gibson fan.
Gee, who'd have thunk it?
I bet you he's already got a copy of The Beaver. You know, Jodie Foster's Beaver.
Yes.
The movie with
this
thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. By the by, we have a montage of people that went to the Charlie Sheen concert in Detroit we'll play for you.
The reviews are not
whining.
Yeah.
This was not winning. Winning, no.
No.
No. No. All right. And then I guess he was marginally, I actually can't believe there was a second show, but there was in Chicago.
Yeah, only 95% of the people stayed.
Huh. All right.
Instead of, what, 60% in Detroit?
All right. So lots more to get to, including the big budget battle in D.C. as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I have some bad news. The test results came back, and looks like you're dying of cuteness.
Boy, I wish. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, Charlie Sheen reviews coming up in just a bit, live from Detroit. In the meantime, we want to welcome one of our very favorite brand new sponsors, Peter Baruch of Business Software Alliance. Good morning, Peter.
How are you today?
Good, sir. Listen, I was reading a headline that you just got a huge settlement, but I think it's really interesting what you guys do. And talk to us about it, because it's a huge thing, you know, pirated software.
Well, it's definitely a real problem, and it's definitely got real consequences to it. Worldwide, we lose about 43% of software due to piracy, you know, people using unauthorized software within businesses in their homes. In the U.S., more locally, it's about a 20% piracy rate, which is good, but that means that our industry loses one out of every five copies of software due to piracy. So it's a big problem.
Well, you know, but it's so much talk about the economy. Obviously, we're in a big budget battle this week in Congress. I mean, you talk a lot about how it hurts the whole economy, the technology industry, the businesses themselves, correct?
Yes, we have done research. Other people have done research. It causes job losses. It causes a tax revenue impact to governments, both state and federal government, because if people are not buying software, states and federal governments aren't collecting the tax revenue. It also, and more importantly, introduces security risks for companies. When you use unauthorized software, that software may have been altered by whoever gave you that software, so it may be creating exposures for your organization.
Well, you know, some of this stuff I just did not know. One out of every five software applications being used in U.S. businesses is pirated.
It is pirated, and, you know, there's not many industries out there that have a 20% loss rate. And, you know, that's like an automobile dealer where one out of every five cars is stolen off of its lot. It can't stay in business. Thankfully, the industry can absorb losses because it looks at it globally, but it's still the reason why we're out there aggressively pursuing people who are using and stealing other people's intellectual property and going after them.
Well, you know, Peter, you make a good point about that. I was reading a piece you wrote, you know, where, and you just made the analogy to cars, but it really is true. I think a lot of it is the perception that people think, oh, that's not really stealing. And you talk about it's just as bad as any other form of stealing, shoplifting, stealing a car, etc.
It is stealing. And the only difference is you may not see it because it's on your hard drive, but it's no different from stealing a loaf of bread from the store or stealing a car off of a lot. Theft is theft.
So tell us about Business Software Alliance, because, you know, you basically say, so what happens? You're an employee, you know, if you're in a small company or a Fortune 500 company and you find out your company is using pirated software, what do you do?
Sure. Well, BSA is a not-for-profit trade association. We represent software companies. And one of the things we're best known for is receiving tips from generally IT managers who are aware of their organizations or other organizations who are using illegal software. We have a hotline, which is 1-800-NO-PIRACY, or a website, which is nopiracy.org, that's built for the sole purpose of letting people report these cases to us. We investigate those leads, and then based on the information that's available to us, we will make a determination on how to proceed on that investigation.
Well, I mean, what about people that are afraid? They're going to say, well, what, you know, maybe I'm just going to lose my job if I do that.
we don't disclose the name of the informant. We keep the name of the person who's reported the piracy to us confidentially. If they choose to give us the report, they can also do it anonymously. So we want to make it easy for people. We want people to feel secure when they're giving us an information that we're going to keep their name confidential, or if it's anonymous, it's anonymous, but know that we're going to proceed and investigate that claim.
Now, you recently announced a big settlement, right? I think actually just today you got a huge settlement for an aircraft component manufacturer. Tell us about that.
So we settled with a company called Precision Aerospace today. It's a company based in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and where, among other things, they had to pay a fine to us for about $125,000, which, again, is just a fine for having illegal software on their various computer systems. In addition to that fine, the company, of course, had to destroy the unauthorized software and license that software that it needed to make sure that its operation was only using legal software into the future.
Well, you know what, Pete, we're really thrilled to have you as a new sponsor of the Stephanie Miller Show, and just wanted to introduce you to the folks and talk about what you do, Business Software Alliance, and thanks so much for your support of our show, and we urge our listeners to support you.
Thanks so much, Stephanie.
Thank you, Peter. Talk again
soon. Bye-bye.
All right, there he goes. One of the fine sponsors of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Great.
Yay! All right, speaking of the economy, big doings in Washington, obviously, this week. Friday at midnight? Is that when we're talking shut her down?
Shut her down, get her done.
Mm-hmm. Senator Dick Durbin yesterday.
We have agreed on a number as to the cut. Now we have to agree on the component parts of it and move forward.
Dick Durbin was on Meet the Press yesterday, mm-hmm. and it's... what can you say about the weepy boner? Chuck Schumer had this to say.
I have a lot of sympathy for Speaker Boehner because he does want to come to an agreement. He knows how devastating a shutdown would be. That's his words, not ours, although we all agree on that. The one group that's standing in the way here is the Tea Party. Now, they have said that a shutdown is a good thing. You saw it on that tape. Some of their leaders have said it over and over again. Sarah Palin, Mike Pence, Michelle Bachmann, they say it's our way or no way. Well, that's not how the American government works.
Yeah.
No, Eric Cantor will explain how the government works.
Well, how it works is I say what I want, and then everybody does what I want them to. That's how it works.
That was a great...
I bet my Adam's apple on that.
That was a great Cantor, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. That's...
And ones of Tea Partiers are in the streets protesting.
Yeah, it was hard to hear them because they're like the Who's in Whoville at this point.
Yeah.
Sorry, what's that? Okay.
Why, my sweet little dog. They were just sitting on the Capitol lawn just eating some roast beast.
And a couple of whoberries. Yeah. All right. The boner, unfortunately, has done the math, unlike Eric Cantor, as we said earlier.
We control one half of one third of the government here in Washington.
Divided by?
We can't impose our will on another body. We can't impose our will on the Senate. All we can do is to fight for all of the spending cuts that we can get an agreement to.
Doesn't that once and for all just shoot the whole theory of the liberal media, Jim? I was saying this last hour. I know it was last week. It just sticks in my craw.
Yep.
Not just a congressman, a leader of their party goes on national television and says if the Senate doesn't pass a bill, the House bill becomes law.
That's right.
And he was not roundly mocked. There wasn't like a reporter
interesting point.
That goes, what? No, that's not how it works.
Well, there are good ideas on both sides. What?
No.
That's not even.
Oh, God. Here's boner again.
But let me be clear. Mm-hmm. There is no agreement.
No. Nothing's agreed till everything's agreed to.
What?
Whatever I said last week to sound tough as a teabagger. Somebody pulled my tail.
Somebody stepped on my tail.
Representative John Cornyn, Republican of Texas.
I hope we can solve the problem because, frankly, people are looking for a little bit of adult interaction and they're interested in solutions to our debt and to our deficits and not just games.
Well,
you see,
one.
They asked the teabagger guy about John Cornyn. He's like, nobody likes him. He's going to get teabagged. Any Republican that's just even a sliver of sort of reasonableness or like...
Right.
Oh, maybe.
Just putting a little pinky over the line, trying to reach out to the Democrats.
No, maybe we should think about... Shut up!
No!
He's a witch! Burn him! Yeah.
That's what they're like. They really are like the Salem witch.
Yes.
Pitchforks and torches.
If he weighs as much as a duck, then he's made of wood, and therefore...
A witch! Murder!
And now here's Eddie Munster.
Are you going all Crucible on her ass?
Eddie Munster, Paul Ryan.
We don't have a tax problem. The problem with our deficit is not because Americans are taxed too little. The problem with our deficit is because Washington spends too much money. We have got to stop spending money we don't have.
Mm.
And so we're not going to go down the path of raising taxes on people and raising taxes in the economy. We want to go after the source of the problem, and that is spending. So, yes, we want pro-growth tax reform for job creation, for economic growth, not for tax increasing.
Because problem is, there's entirely too many old people still alive. So the solution is just blow up Medicare entirely.
Yeah, I don't think you'd get the old people vote with that.
Well, they'll vote for me anyway, so screw them.
Oh, boy. Here is the Larry the Cable Guy of the Republican Party. Shut her down, Mike Pence.
Liberals in the Senate would rather play political games and shut down the government instead of making a small down payment on fiscal discipline and reform. I say, shut it down.
Shut it down!
This is so amazing. They're trying to make it look like it's the Democrats' idea, and they're the ones calling to shut down the government.
In the same sentence. Well, if Democrats want to shut it down, then I say shut it
down.
I mean, it's a brilliant strategy, but...
Yeah.
Anybody falling for that?
No.
Yes, no Democrat is calling for a shutdown. It's only Republicans that have even gone on record like that and said that. Kathy Durr?
Frank Luntz is smoking something.
This is a Tea Party Patriots woman. Her last name is actually Durr.
D-I-R-R. Durr.
Here's Kathy Durr.
I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties. Stop being noodleback.
Noodle bats?
She's my new favorite, Kathy Durr.
Durr.
Take off your lace panties and show us your noodle bat.
What's a noodle back?
Instead of having a rigid spine, you have a spine of a noodle?
Oh, you know? Stop being noodle backs. Yes, but I never heard it referred to as a noun, a noodle back.
What?
Durr?
Durr.
I'm guessing she comes from a long line of Durrs.
Durr. Do they wear lace panties on Noodleback Mountain?
I bet you when she got married, she didn't say I do. She said,
Durr.
I durr.
I durr.
Durr. Take off your lace panties and durr. Durr.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And why is the press still covering these people as if they were of any consequence?
Because her name is Kathy Durr.
Durr. Oh, okay. That's why we're covering it. Are you kidding me?
Oh, boy.
Durr. We're going to have fun with that for weeks.
Oh, gosh. Don't call me a teabagger.
I'm guessing she's the woman that loved the Charlie Sheen concert.
Yes.
All right, 46
hasn't
minutes
Detroit
after the
suffered
hour.
Enough.
Yeah, she's the one who didn't walk out.
More, she was calling for an encore. She had her lighter lit.
Free durr.
Durr.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I get it, because we have the president of the National Education Association on. I get it.
Yes.
All right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Dennis Van Roekel joins us to talk about today, which is a very important day, you may know or not. It is the anniversary of Martin Luther King's death. It is Monday, April 4th today. Dennis joins us now. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you.
Thanks so much for taking time for us. We've been talking about the We Are One commemoration today. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing all around the country today.
Well, literally in every single state, there are thousands of activities going on. There are rallies, there are vigils, there are teach-ins on college campuses. Employees all across the country are wearing We Are One, all in to recognize on this 43rd anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You know, he was in Memphis at the time, and it was about a sanitation worker strike. They had been jailed, they had been assaulted, and he was there for human dignity, for workers' rights. And just as in that parade or that demonstration back 43 years ago one of the gentlemen had a sign that said, I am a man. Today, all across this country, people are holding signs that say, we are one. We yep. want our voice heard.
Well, and Dennis, what a perfect time when, obviously, labor is under assault like it never has been, to put together Dr. King's, basically, his coalition again, right? I mean, you know, labor unions, civil rights organizations, religious leaders. I mean, in the wake of this horrible, you know, pastor who burned the Koran that's caused, you know, these deaths all around the world. I mean, what a perfect time to have the We Are One commemoration.
Absolutely. And you mentioned all the different groups. It will take all of us in order to turn this around. It started out as, you know, talking about balancing the budget or because of the crisis in the economy. But what we soon saw, that's not what it was about. It was about politics and payback and silencing the voice of middle class America.
Well, and by the way, obviously, you know, you've seen what's going on in the courts in Wisconsin. This fight is far from over.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the public polls, 2-1, they're saying that Walker is wrong, that he overstepped his bounds, that they don't want the unions gone. They understand the need for the common, everyday, middle-class American worker to be able to stand up and have their voice heard. You know, it's no different. I was a high school math teacher for 23 years, and I needed my voice heard in the halls of the legislature and other places to say, I spend every day with students. I want you to know what I believe needs to be done for those students I teach.
Yep. Well, I mean, the NEA is the largest professional union in the country, right? You've got 3.2 million educators. And I think, you know, what I love about it is just the solidarity we've seen in Wisconsin and elsewhere that, you know, you're standing together as one, basically, with public workers. I mean, there was that effort to divide again between public and private employees again, correct?
Absolutely, and you hit it on the head. It was very important that we did stand together. We can't separate public from private, and we can't separate unions from non-union workers. It's really all of us.
Right. Well, the thing I kept saying that it kept offending me is that, you know, the trying to divide, quote-unquote, the taxpayers and union people, and I'm like, excuse me, union people do pay taxes. You know, we are all one, and that's why it's, you know, it's just such a great thing you guys are doing today.
Well, and it just makes no sense that at a time when we Americans so need jobs that the way we help our economy and help America is by having tens of thousands of people lose their jobs. Not much logic in that.
Yep, absolutely. Well, and, you know, and we're obviously in a key budget battle in Washington this week. And, you know, as you know, at least, you know, they keep yelling, where are the jobs? Well, we obviously had the best jobs report we've had in 2 years a couple of days ago.
That's
and
right.
We need to continue the momentum.
That's right. The America Recovery Reinvestment Act is starting to show real dividends, both in terms of jobs and just in the rebound of the economy. It's not going to happen overnight, but it is moving definitely in the right direction.
Well, Dennis, happy We Are One Day. The website is educationvotes.nea.org/weareone if you want to find out more about what's happening in your community. Dennis, thanks so much, and thanks for fighting the good fight.
You bet. Nice to be with you
All
again.
Right. Thank you, Dennis. There you go. Uh-oh.
What?
We have some Durr family members in the audience who are offended. Lee in Sacramento. Hi, Lee.
Hello.
Hi, Lee.
I'm not in Sacramento. I'm in North Carolina.
Okay. Oh. Okay, go ahead, Lee.
That's okay. I just want to say I'm a regular listener. I enjoy your humor usually, and I'm very happy with your point of view.
Oh, okay.
And I think people ought to be picked on when they do bonehead things like Bachman and Boner and some of the others. But I just don't like you picking on somebody just because they have a funny last name.
Well, it's the combination of a funny last name and really dumb thoughts.
Right.
That just well, just kind of fitting.
I agree with that.
Just sort of fitting that her last name is Durr.
Yeah, I agree, but you just, that's not something you make fun of. A person's name is one of their most precious products.
But if they say things that actually literally make you go Durr, like, you know what I'm saying? Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, my last name is really funny sounding. Lavoie. I got made fun of a lot when I was a kid, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah, well, you know, I disagree totally with Limbaugh, but I never call him Limburger or Limp Balls because...
No, we don't tend to use that here either. Okay, all right.
Did she really just say that? Bitchy.
Just when the boner pulls a boner, you can't help but, you know. Well, just saying. All right. It's just.
One, two, round the walking. The first one does the talking.
I don't think I would make fun of her last name being Durr if she hadn't have said this.
I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties. Stop being noodle bats.
She was calling people names, wasn't she?
Exactly. Durr.
Durr.
Durr. Brett in San Diego, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Brett.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I'd like to bring up a couple of points that I haven't heard discussed yet. One is that, you know, Terry Jones,
yes.
When he burned those books, he joined the ranks of all some of the great monsters of history, you know, like Lenin, Stalin, Mao. They were all book
Hitler.
Burners, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, you know, those people in Afghanistan
mm-hmm.
don't understand that they don't have the right to be not offended, okay?
Wow.
They don't
they
have the
don't
right to
have
be
the right not,
not.
To not be offended.
Hmm. To not be offended.
Hmm.
Okay.
Are the double negative police available?
You're not have the right to not be not offended.
We need to deconstruct that during the break.
Let's diagram it.
Okay. That and a reaction from the Charlie Sheen crowd mm-hmm. as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Durr.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This hour brought to you by Musakusa. It's a dictator's friend and a dessert topping.
What?
Just kidding. Not. This hour brought to you by On Top Magazine. It keeps you on top of LGBT news, politics, and entertainment at ontopmag.com.
Hooray!
StephanieMiller.com. I'm sorry, I've moved on.
Yeah.
Musakusa was last week's funny name. This week's is Kathy Durr.
Durr.
The Tea Party Girl. Someone has tweeted me, as you can.
Yes, by going to @SMShow at Twitter. J. Patrick Boyle tweeted you and said, I suspect Eric Cantor will soon be making race cars out of his poo.
I agree, thank you.
I believe he already is.
Oh, boy. That could only be tweeted by someone that listens to this show.
Mm-hmm.
StephanieMiller.com. It's the website. Oh, Bob in Texas says he has a worse last name than Kathy Durr. Hello,
yes,
Bob.
My name is Cheney.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
I grew up being called Lon Cheney, but this is much worse.
Oh, dear. But at least you're a less. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Lon Cheney at least played monsters. He wasn't one in real life.
He's not a dick, Cheney, is what I'm saying. He's a Bob, at least.
My friend Travis just tweeted me and said that he has the worst last name ever.
His
last name is Bone.
Bone. Yes, I know your friend Travis Bone.
Bone, yes.
Mm-hmm. Could be Travis Bickle.
All right.
Sometimes you see your filth and all the crimes.
Okay. You can email us all at thebig@stephaniemiller.com. Oh, Edie McClurg is sick today.
Yeah.
She called in sick. How dare she for her job where she gets paid nothing?
Absolutely nothing.
She
even does research for this show.
And she comes in with notes to commentate.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Get well soon, Edie. We will see you next week. All right.
I say you dock her pay by 1,000,000%.
Yes. That'll show her. Okay. Oh, looky here. Speaking of teabaggers, not just Kathy Durr.
But
Tommy has sent us a
right-wing hypocrites.
The Tea Party swept into the 112th Congress with promises of cutting government spending, but according to a report out today, at least five lawmakers with Tea Party connections have been longtime recipients of federal agricultural subsidies on the government teat. So, as it were, the biggest recipient, Representative Stephen Fincher, a Republican from Frog Jump, Tennessee.
Frog Jump?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Oh, boy. The self-described Tea Party patriot lists his occupation as farmer and gospel singer. Oh, boy. He doesn't mention his family has received more than $3 million in farm subsidies from 1995 to 2009. When asked whether he'd be willing to see all his subsidies go away, he would not directly say he would no longer take any more subsidies. So, at least he's a consistent hypocrite. Man. All right. Wow. This makes a certain kind of sense. It's Crookstack. And pot stack. A man accused of stealing a donut truck because he was tired of walking is being held in jail on charges of grand theft auto and marijuana possession.
Donuts,
of course he would steal a donut truck.
Sure.
He stole a truck with 388 boxes of Krispy Kreme donuts in it.
Oh.
It's a good choice if you have the munchies.
Or a Doritos truck would be good.
Maybe even better. Maybe better.
Yeah.
Police found 10 grams of marijuana in a plastic bag in the vehicle. Robert said the drugs did not belong to him.
Of course not.
People still try that one? Really?
Nor did the donuts.
It's not mine. I don't know.
I grabbed the wrong purse.
All right. Good morning, Detroit. I thought it'd be a good time to do some crack jokes. Oh, dear. Charlie Sheen didn't. Dear. When was it? Saturday night in Detroit? Mm-hmm. Yes, he was heckled, booed, and eventually abandoned by the crowd at his inaugural. You know, Jim, apparently show business still involves putting on a show of some sort.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Mm-hmm. Audience members were chanting refund and heading for the exits before the show abruptly ended. What was the name of the tour? My Violent Torpedo of Truth Defeat is Not an Option tour.
Looks like his Violent Torpedo was a dud.
Mm. He did some rants. There was a rapper, a Q&A session. Oh, I try to coast on those.
Yeah. That's how you feel a lot of time.
Sheen's publicist. Oh, does he have a new publicist? He found someone. The publicist was unable to, declined to comment after the show.
Mm. Wow, publicist declining to comment. That's kind of
wow.
Not in the job description. That's
yikes. He said he thought Detroit would be a good place to tell some stories about crack cocaine. The remark prompted loud, immediate boos.
Sure.
And at one point he yelled out, "I've already got your money, dude."
Wow.
People paid anywhere from character to D-list $80 to $600 plus for a ticket. D-list writing, "They must be rubbing cortisone on their wallets this morning because they were violently dried by a fraudulent warlock who put on a show that was so disastrous he made everyone wish they were watching an episode of Two and a Half Men." This sounds like the only way it could have been worse is if this Julie Taymor pushed a flying Spider-Man from the rafters. Lord. And D-listed with a helpful hint. The moral of the story is, before buying tickets for any show, ask yourself first, can I see this for free on public transportation at 4 in the morning?
Yeah.
If the answer is yes, put your credit card back, because... I did suggest Terry Jones, perhaps, as a new opening act.
Sure.
Tom in Tucson on
Not the guy from Monty Python.
Pastor Jones. Hello, Tom.
Hey, according to the Supreme Court, Terry Jones could be prosecuted under imminent and lawful action.
Under what?
In other words, imminent and lawful action. In other words, if he committed a speech in which unlawful action was imminent, such as a riot, murders, he can be prosecuted.
Right. Well, Tom, I asked this earlier. I said, you know, how close is this to the fire in a crowded theater line?
Well, according to what I've read, I don't know why, even if it occurred in another country, why he should get off the hook.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Mary in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I have a word for you guys. Ostracism. All right? Old-fashioned word, right? Mm-hmm. These people should be ostracized. Now, I mean, it's, I guess, metaphoric, but I think people know what I mean. The way you deal with bullies and jerks like this is you shun them like they used to in ancient times. You literally sort of take them on and then form a web around. That's why the Tea Party is losing so much support. First of all, they're not real. I believe they never were. Remember back in 2009 with the second rally, Dick Armey came out and said, "Leave your signs home." Why? What? Now, how come the mainstream media never shows those big rallies with the signs anymore? You know, with the president looking like whatever, you know, all this racist stuff. And, of course, and so Dick Armey had to tell them, "Hey, guys, tone it down, you know. These people should be ostracized. They should be
Well, Mary,
guys,
this is the
you
problem.
Guys are great at it.
You don't want to give these people publicity, but then what happens when a bunch of people get killed in another country? Then you've got a news story that you got to cover, and then this guy gets what he wants, right? He gets the publicity.
No, I understand what you're saying, but people can ostracize him. Don't think that he hasn't gotten, you know, death threats from, you know, internally on Twitter, whatever, that he's not talking about.
Yep.
I happen to know, because they say eventually that does come out. But like this guy from Maine, the new governor, whatever, LaHave, LaPage, what a jerk. You know, take him on.
The mural majority. Yes.
Yeah, right. He wants to get rid of child labor laws. I mean, you heard this one. This is the newest thing now from the Congress. This right. is coming from on high, from the Koch brothers on down.
Mary, you need your own radio show. You know that?
You're good, Mary. You're really good.
I would listen.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Wow.
Does she ever breathe?
Spunky. She's spunky.
I love her Long Island accent.
Exactly. I would listen to that.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. I was a little bit... she was... okay. Mm. All right. Here's the montage we promised you of people who were at the Charlie Sheen show in Detroit.
It was nothing like we expected it to be. It was really boring.
He's definitely not winning. He's losing.
He mentioned Warlock and Tiger Blood winning. That's about it. What it turned out to be was just really dull. Nothing but film clips to take up most of the time.
Fall asleep, wake up, see what everybody's yelling about, fall back asleep. Do you want to go? Can we leave? Can we leave?
Wow.
That was the most commonly repeated phrase. Can we go now? Can we go now? Wow. Honey, can we go? Oh, man. Somewhere, though, Charlie Sheen's going, wait a minute, a mock trial for the Corin. That could be in the next show.
Oh, boy.
That sounds like winning. Duh.
Wow, he may want to try this. Do I always say her name wrong, the TikTok singer?
Kesha.
Kesha.
$ha.
Why don't they have the decency to use all regular letters in it, for God's sakes?
Because
Kesha.
Dollar sign. Because she's a manufactured creation.
She has recently taken up painting in order to relax. She said, I got a big canvas, threw some paints down, stripped off, and rolled around on it.
Okay.
And that's freaking odd. That's what that is. Something else for Charlie Sheen to do this next show.
Sure.
The 24-year-old singer also revealed she recently had a bizarre dream about making out with Lady Gaga. She said, last week I dreamed I was a preschool kid making out with Lady Gaga. You know, you don't need to share everything that you have dreams about. I have one friend that always has to tell me the entire, like, in the dreams they're longer than kid jokes. And then I had my tongue in Prince's ear, and I'm just like, I don't care. I was a preschooler making out with Lady Gaga.
Whatever.
Okay, I appreciated that.
Okay. All right, then. Okay. Katie Couric is leaving the CBS Evening News, Jim. This just in this morning.
That's kind of expected, isn't it?
Yes, it was expected. It looks like she's going
to be replaced by Tom Brokaw, formerly of NBC Nightline.
One can only hope.
Oh, I hope so.
She is giving up the anchor desk at CBS Evening News, according to a report early today. A contract is set to end June 4th. I think she's going to be get a daytime talk show.
That's what they're saying.
Because Oprah's leaving. And sure. You get a show. You get a show now. Everyone gets a show now.
Didn't Jane Pauley leave the Today Show in order to get a daytime talk show?
Oh, yeah. How'd that work out?
I believe she did. Yes.
Yeah. Just saying.
Jane Pauley. Wow.
Yeah, well, remember her?
Haven't heard that in a while. 17 minutes after the hour. Back with a little more
having
celebrity an 80s
flashback.
And much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour. Oh, everybody's trying to top Kathy Durr now for bad last names. Ken in Cleveland.
Well, hello, everybody. Yeah, hey. I growing up with the last name Picklesheimer wasn't
no way.
Easy.
Yeah.
And
Picklesheimer?
Picklesheimer, yeah, Picklesheimer. That was my name.
Yeah, Kenny Pick is what he goes by.
Yeah, Kenny Pick is my nickname since high school. But I met Harvey Pekar from American Splendor before he died.
Yes.
And he had a story in his book, and his last name is Pekar, so obviously there's a few things you can derive from that. And I had the privilege of meeting him, and I told him my last name, and he just said the coolest thing in the world to me. He said it's a badge of courage, and that stuck with me forever because it really is.
Yeah.
And you know what? Don't be ashamed of your name. Have fun with it.
Well, that's why you're funny and you make great montages now, because your name is Picklesheimer.
Picklesheimer.
Yeah,
okay.
You can sing it to the Mickey Mouse theme song, too.
All right. Thank you, Ken. Lynn in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Lynn.
Hey. Hi, Steph and guys.
Hi.
Sorry
sorry it snowed when you were here a couple of weeks ago. So wasn't that a drag?
Oh, no, I wasn't in Buffalo. My mom lives in Charlotte, North Carolina now.
Oh, I missed that part. Oh, I thought you came to Lockport.
No.
On the whole Katie Couric thing, you know, I'm really not going to miss her too much. I think she has been trying to make it up to the Republicans ever since she showed how kind of clueless Sarah Palin is. She's kind of been trying to make it up to him.
Yeah, maybe.
What really topped it for me with her was a couple of months ago, she interviewed our senator, Kirsten Gillibrand, after she had visited Congressman Giffords, in the hospital and everything. And, Senator Gillibrand was saying how, she could hear us, she was responding. And the tone of Katie's voice when she says this to her, she goes, "How do you know she could hear you?" And my son was watching it with me, and he's like, "Mom, the look on her and the senator's face because of the tone of Katie's voice. I mean, you could tell it aggravated her." And she just knew. I mean, you could. It wasn't like it was like an empathetic tone.
Right? Are you implying I'm lying? Yeah. The thing I never got is that people were saying, "Oh, that was so unfair to Sarah Palin." Didn't she seem like she really was trying to help her? I thought she seemed really pained. She was sort of like trying to, are you sure? Can you think of any sort of newspaper something? Okay. All right. Hey, guess what? Sigourney Weaver, who we just had on the big show.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago. Jim, this is going to make you, she's going to be even hotter to you now. She has an alien conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
She's convinced extraterrestrials exist and believes the U.S. government actively suppresses information about UFOs. She said, "We are not alone in the universe. I think there's a department in our U.S. government which is exclusively dedicated to quashing reports about aliens." And if she saw one, she would say,
"Get away from her, you bitch!"
Yeah. We almost got her to say that. And guess what? She's not the only star. Guess she's not alone. Keanu Reeves. Not surprisingly.
Well, he is from another planet, so he would know.
He said, "I think there's extraterrestrial life forms in the cosmos. I think it's more likely than not the cosmos is a great big place." Wow.
You know what? I kind of agree with that.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's extremely unlikely that we're the only so-called intelligent life form in the entire universe. Every airline pilot...
Why are they so interested in our naughty bits? That's all I want to know. Because most stories about abductions involve...
Probes. Because they were extracting... they're interested in reproducing, supposedly, that they're breeding with humans. So,
okay, that explains it. Thank you, Jim.
Do you believe this, Jim?
It could be. I have no proof that it's not happening.
The anal probe, they're going in the wrong way. Do they realize that?
Reproduction? Yeah.
Just saying.
Maybe they haven't figured that out yet.
Maybe they need a basic biology lab.
Boy, do our experiments always fail.
Damn it.
I claim this anus in the name of Mars.
All right. Finally, Kate Hudson says Mom Goldie Hawn looks better the older she gets. Goldie Hawn, who we've also had on this show.
A few weeks ago.
Yeah, that is a little freaky. I'm starting to think she is her character and Death Becomes Her.
Mm-hmm.
The 31-year-old actress is jealous of her 65-year-old mother's body and features because she doesn't show any signs of aging. She said, "She's beautiful. She's out of control. How is my own mother thinner than me? She looks better than I do."
She looks awesome.
How is that
really
possible?
I am not it's weird. One of your fans!
All right, Jim, you and I were talking nukes a little bit over the break. Kate, why? Here's the thing. Remember the BP oil spill? It appears to me if we're just making it up as we go along to try to figure things out, maybe we shouldn't be doing those things in the first place till we have a little better grasp of how to stop them. Oil spills or radiation leaks or,
Whatever.
First of all, don't be alarmed, Jim. It's leaking into the ocean. I'm sure that'll be fine. And this is like this Roadrunner cartoon again.
I was going to say, if you're going out for sushi, bring a Geiger counter.
Engineers pin their hopes on chemicals, sawdust, and shredded newspaper.
Oh, boy.
Is this a junk shot? Are they trying a junk shot?
We're almost to the top killer. The
junk shot. Wow.
To stop highly radioactive water pouring into the ocean from Japan's tsunami-ravaged nuclear plant, concrete already failed to stop the tainted water spewing from a crack in the maintenance pit, and the new mixture did not appear to be working either, but engineers said they weren't abandoning it.
Mm.
Yeah, why would you?
Yeah, and meanwhile, Jeff Immelt of GE.
GE, yes.
says nuclear energy is completely safe. This is an industry
that's because they make parts for nuclear power plants.
This is an industry that's had an extremely safe track record for more than 40 years. Oops, what happened? Oh,
listen to this.
No one's perfect.
Listen to this, though. Is this the best technology we have? On Sunday, they injected sawdust, 3 garbage bags of shredded newspaper, and polymer similar to one used to absorb liquid in diapers that can expand to 50 times its normal size when combined with water. It's a sea monkey. They put shredded newspaper and a sea monkey in there
and
to see if that would work.
I'd like to say, nuclear power isn't some fancy magical voodoo. It's heating water. It's like a giant tea kettle.
It's
just an extremely dangerous way of doing it.
Yeah, the polymer mix in the passageway leading to the pit had not stopped the leak by Sunday, but it also had not leaked out of the crack along with the water, so engineers were stirring it in an attempt to get it to expand. It's like a Nerf kind of sea monkey type thing that they're relying on, along with garbage bags
nuclear
full of
bouillabaisse.
Shredded paper. Okay, well, I feel safer. 29 minutes. Who wants to go surfing? 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, doesn't matter if she gets it, as long as she's pretty.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Join us tomorrow for David Schuster, journalist extraordinaire, Charlie Pierce, and the very Reverend Jim Wallace, the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's right.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right. Oh, looky here, catching up with Pickles in the New York Times. Did you see the Laura Bush Back at the Ranch feature?
Really?
No, I missed it somehow.
Where was this?
It's in the New York Times.
Neat.
These are some fun facts about Pickles and George. Now, Barney and Miss Beasley had a harder time adjusting than we did. They missed the large staff and have gotten clingy. I just picture Barney just clamped on the president's leg. Just, damn it, Barney, get off me. The Entertainment Center, they loved the King's speech, which is kind of funny because see, he also...
There's a guy who is inarticulated.
Yeah.
Yeah, problems
speaking.
Enunciating his.
Who actually was a king. Just think he was a king. All right. Oh, boy. Doesn't this sound like every gal's dream? She says, George and I do everything together, really. Wouldn't you give anything to spend that much time with George Bush? We read at the same time. We go to bed early and read every single night. We have all our breakfasts and dinners together. What a dream come true. President Bush's most annoying habit, smacking on chewing gum.
I never pictured him a gum chewer.
I bet you. I wonder where she smokes now that she can't smoke in the rose chain smoke in the rose garden and curse her life. On the president's mind, at least there's something on his mind now. He's always worried about our small lake that is stocked with bass because he loves to fish. There's always some concern. It's too hot. It's too cold. Are the fish not getting enough feed? That's what he worries about.
Oh, my God.
He's a simple man. Can you just imagine sitting there smacking gum? Hey, Laura, I wonder if the bass is okay. Can you go check again?
Yeah, we're checking the bass.
Is it getting enough feed? Wonder if it's too hot.
Yeah.
Wonder if it's too cold. What's for lunch?
Bass.
That's terrific bass.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. I actually, she says in closing, I actually just got a BlackBerry message from George. It said, where are you?
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Where are you? I was wondering how the bass is doing. Oh, Jesus. Okay, thank you, New York Times, for that catch-up on Pickles and George.
Let's make sure there is certainty during uncertain times in our economy. We've got plenty of money in Washington. What we need is more priority.
Okie dokie. So, we are... in the midst of a budget showdown, Friday at midnight, the government would shut down if there was no agreement. Does this say it all to you? I'm reading one line about Boehner.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. He could apparently easily get the votes for this to pass, but even that's not good enough in these Republican circles. It's got to be enough Republican votes. He doesn't want Democratic votes. Boehner told reporters last week, when asked about forming a coalition with Democrats to pass the legislation to keep the government operating, not very interested, he said. Yeah.
So why does the president keep trying to compromise
I don't
people?
That's the thing. They're saying if he has to do it with Democratic votes, then he still loses. I don't ask me what's happened to politics. He's reacting to the tens of people
out there. What he thinks.
He's reacting to the Kathy Durs of the world is what the problem is. Our Tea Party.
Take off your lace panties.
I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties. Stop being noodle back.
Yeah. John Boehner, you're being a noodle back, mister.
She is from John Boehner's district
in
Ohio. Yeah.
Talking to you orange noodle back.
You big orange noodle back, take off your lace panties.
You look like that carrot-colored pasta, you noodle back.
Was that kind of a backhanded homophobic comment?
Yeah, a little bit. Take off your lacy panties or
something. Yeah, great.
Who knows what's on Kathy Durr's mind
today. Oh, sorry, we're not supposed to make fun of her.
Maybe he was listening to Kathy Durr when he
don't make fun of her last name.
No.
We've been duly chastised.
All right. Interesting story in the LA Times. You know, Jim, I hope the media does a better job this presidential go-round on, these governors' actual records. This one, it was a story about Tim Pawlenty, who we have decided we have had Pawlenty of already.
Yes.
Really?
I'm sure the people of Minnesota have had.
But they made all these claims about Sarah Palin's record as governor of Alaska that were just completely
the
bogus.
The fact that she completed her term? I think that's probably the first lie.
Yeah. The headline is Pawlenty's fiscal claims question, because they run on the basis of, oh, he did such a great job in blank state. The story is Tim Pawlenty's fiscal talk and Minnesota's reality don't always match up to this. The state is looking at a huge deficit, and even some of the other the former governor's Republican allies are lukewarm about his approach. It's like, what's his name in Texas, crazy bastard? Rick Perry. I mean... It's unbelievable, the way they're actually running these states, and they somehow get this reputation as the LA Times. In every speech Republican presidential hopeful Tim Pawlenty gives these days, he touts his fiscal record during his 8 years as governor of Minnesota. I drew a line in the sand, he likes to say, bragging he vetoed every tax increase and demanded the state government officials live within our means, just like families, just like businesses,
right.
Just like everybody else.
Yeah, good thing you got rid of Bridge.
Yeah, I'll get to that. A close look at Pawlenty's record in Minnesota and conversations with former Republican allies in the state suggests the former governor's tough rhetoric does not match Minnesota's reality. And we've heard a lot of this from callers to the show from Minneapolis area. He curbed the rate of growth in state spending, though not growth overall. But to do that, are you ready for it? He relied on money from the federal stimulus, just like Rick Perry. A program he decried as wasteful and other one-time fixes. He postponed school and other obligations, leading to hikes in local property taxes and strains on school districts as burdens shifted downward. Most strikingly, he left the state with a $5 billion projected deficit, one of the highest in the nation.
That's right.
As a percentage of the state's general fund, slightly only trailing California! California! Thank you, Governor Schwarzenegger!
Another Republican.
Yes! Pawlenty blames the deficit...
things of this nature.
Exactly. He blames the deficit, of course, on Democrats in the legislature, which is what they always
sure,
do.
Right.
But Pawlenty's critics fault him for what one called a sleight of hand budgeting and a failure to work with a Democratic-controlled legislature before he left office in 2011. Tim Pawlenty's philosophy of fiscal management can be summarized as kick the can down the road, said former Minnesota Governor Arne Carlson, who's a Republican. Yes, and Jim, you brought up in 2008, after the deadly collapse of the I-35 bridge in the Twin Cities, he vetoed a transportation disaster. He vetoed a transportation spending bill that would have provided $600 million for other bridges deemed efficient. The legislature overrode his decision.
That would have also provided a lot of construction jobs as well.
Thank you. Conservatives generally praise, by the way, his bold use of a little-known Minnesota provision that allows governors to cut already appropriated funds if necessary to balance the budget. He speaks with pride of his unilateral actions. Remind you of all these Republican governors now?
Mm-hmm.
But they were criticized as overreach, even by the Chief Justice of the Minnesota Supreme Court, a Pawlenty appointee, who wrote the majority opinion ruling them illegal. Illegal! Just like what's happening to Scott Walker and others. It's just, I'm sick of these, like, media myths about these guys. Yeah. Like, oh, he's so strong and good for him, and look what he did. Yeah, exactly. And meanwhile, you know, it was ruled either illegal or, like I said, or they leave the state in a huge deficit. Mm-hmm. The only fixes they got were federal stimulus that they were on TV screaming about. It's
right.
Just, yeah. And, as you know, he wants to put a Don't Ask, Don't Tell back into effect, which is a Jim Dandy idea, isn't it?
Great. So he wants to reduce the size of the military.
Yes.
The right wing will go ape dump over that.
Yeah. And then you have to, as I've mentioned many times, just the workability of it.
Yeah.
You have to pretend that you didn't hear people
yeah.
said they were gay.
Well, if he's going to do that, then he has to bring back the draft.
Hmm. All right. Mittens, meanwhile, another one of our Republican governors.
Uh-huh.
He directly addressed the Obama administration's, they've given him some props on his health care plan,
yeah,
as you
props.
Know. Defending the law's controversial individual mandate for the first time and promising it won't impede an aggressive attack on the president and his health care policy, which is almost exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Romney cracked, he's probably better off this time around. He said, had I become the nominee in 2008, then I'd have been the guy who lost to Barack Obama. No, now there's a good chance you'll be the guy who loses to Barack Obama in 2012. So that'll be entirely different this time.
And now I wonder who let the dogs out.
Woof, woof,
woof, woof, woof, woof.
A man who has no experience in the private sector, no experience in negotiation, no experience really in leadership, and the consequence of seeing someone learn another job in the presidency has not been a pretty sight.
No. No, it's awful.
Yes, because government should be treated exactly like a business.
What?
No. The purpose of government is not to earn a profit.
What do you expect from President Clipart? Where's my cartoon pipe?
Yeah, all he needs is a pipe.
He is clip art.
And he would look like a 1950s dad clip art.
And he has about as much substance.
God, he would probably look like your dad.
Yes. It's that old-time madman kind of dad.
Yes.
Yeah. Wears a white shirt and a tie.
In the shower. My dad, he never took it off. White shirt and the skinny tie.
And he wore a hat outside.
Yes. And his Hamburg.
Did he ever smoke a pipe?
No.
No. Okay. No.
Cigarettes.
I can't wear a hat. It would mess up my perfect hair.
Woof, woof.
Woof, woof.
I'm guessing he has never worn a hat. I don't think a hat has ever touched one strand of that gorgeous hair.
No. That would ruin it.
No.
I wonder what he uses. Does he still... Brill cream? Do they even still make Brill cream?
I don't know.
Wow.
Someone will tell us.
Uh-huh.
All right. Here's a revolution. A revelation. Fox News. Someone accidentally admitted that they don't really do journalism. Yes. Yes. The revelation that, this from our friends at Media Matters, the revelation that Fox News Washington managing editor Bill Salmon intentionally misled viewers in 2008 with speculation linking Barack Obama to socialism has drawn criticism from a handful of veteran Washington bureau chiefs.
Yeah, if only he can be linked to socialism.
I love that they still have this quaint idea that Fox News is actually going to care about whether they do journalism.
Wow.
Several former D.C. newsroom leaders said that Salmon acted unethically when he publicly hinted several times in 2008 that Obama might have socialist tendencies, only to later admit at the time he privately felt the allegations were far-fetched. He said, at that time, I have to admit, I went on TV on Fox News and publicly engaged in what I guess was some rather mischievous speculation about whether President Obama really advocated socialism, a premise privately I found rather far-fetched. But I figured, hey, our anchors are dumb as stumps. They'll just keep repeating it endlessly. Well, because I read it in a memo. Yeah, and then now it's become like common wisdom or something.
If you were a socialist, you had have Paul Krugman instead of Tim Geithner.
If only.
Jeff Immelt would be nowhere
He's on his Jeff Immelt thing today. There's no getting him off.
I'm not too happy with Jeff Immelt either.
The head of GE says that nuclear power is completely safe.
And now he works for the Obama administration.
Did he say completely safe?
And who built the reactors in Japan? Oh, GE!
All right, 46 minutes after the hour, back with the waning moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Bringing back the 90s one by one.
I guess the future is dead. We keep looking backwards.
51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Kathy in St. Paul. Hey, Kath.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Listening to the news this morning in between your wonderful show, and they were saying that the water in St. Paul is tainted with radiation from Japan.
Oh, awesome.
And last time I checked, I didn't see Japan from Minnesota, you know.
Wow. Yeah, I know. I mean, it really is amazing. Isn't it the story I was doing, Kathy, on how it literally is another, like, Roadrunner cartoon? They're just trying. I don't shredded newspaper. Are you kidding me?
Yes, and Acme is the General Electric.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. They're bringing the movable hole in.
Send Jeff Immelt down in the reactor.
You go again.
Exploding birdseed?
Right. Rocket skates?
Maybe we just all need rocket skates to get away from the radiation.
A portable hole would take care of everything.
Exactly. I said that. Yeah. All right. Dear God, there's a story out here in the L.A. Times about the gay in California.
There's only one?
No, it's a story about the gay and the children, which makes people, you know, the religious right go insane. We just melded our musics together.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, boy. Here we go again. California lawmakers fight over a bill to teach students about gay people's contributions. What? We can't teach children about the existence of the gays?
I think they know.
What? Is the battle of... This is just gets, boy. As the battle over same-sex marriage makes its way through California's courts, another gay rights fight smoldering in a really gay way in the legislature.
In a really hot, sweaty way?
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Like a rave. Democratic lawmakers have revived a plan to require state schools to teach about the... This is going to be all over. This is going to be, what, the Fox tonight, isn't it? It's going to be all over the Fox News. A plan to require state schools to teach about the contributions of gay, lesbian, blah, blah, blah. Americans. They are reigniting a movement that halted 5 years ago when legislators approved such a requirement, only to run into opposition from then-Governor Schwarzenegger, who I guess was not...
Yeah.
I'm fine getting spotted in the waiting room by sweaty gay men, but I don't want them.
My children around them that could rub off or something, and then they taking the steroids and the pumping of the iron and things of this nature. This is all really gay.
The kindergarten teach.
Nothing to the imagination.
We don't teach about things like gays and the tumors, things of the nature.
And you see my little swollen, little tiny little chestnuts there because of the steroids and not just all of this. Perhaps I said too much.
Didn't need that mental picture. Thanks.
Here we go with the typical arguments. Craig DeLuz, a parent and Sacramento board member, said it's in fact legislating morality. How is that legislating morality to acknowledge that the existence of gay people? Remember that one guy that called a couple of years ago? What am I supposed to tell my children about this? The proposal would require that social science texts and other instruction include a study of the role and contributions of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender Americans to the economic, political, and social development of California and the United States of America, with particular emphasis on portraying the role of these groups in contemporary society. Each school district would decide which age groups receive such instruction. Gay rights activists say the legislation's overdue and would extend recognition long provided in textbooks and classrooms to historical figures who are African American, Latino, and Asian American. Senator Mark Leno, Democrat of San Francisco. How is this going to be in the talking point, or where is this going to be in the Bill O'Reilly show, do you think, exactly?
God, I don't know.
He introduced the bill, said it addresses a glaring oversight in educating young people that has led to harassment of gays by their classmates. Some gay high school students welcomed Leno's effort, which they said would make them feel less isolated. It would show that non-heterosexuals have contributed to the U.S. in significant ways. I don't get it. Will we just forever pretend like gay people don't exist? Is that, I don't, as we've said over and over when this comes up, you can teach your kids whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can still, when they come home, go, your father and I don't think for X, Y, and Z reasons, we don't agree with this lifestyle. Whatever it is you want to tell your kids. Mm-hmm. But
you can't deny that gays and lesbians haven't had.
I mean, you're not teaching it's right or it's wrong. These are people that have existed in our society that have made contributions, like civil rights leaders.
Exactly.
Meanwhile,
no, they don't exist. Just like the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan
were
free.
They want to sweep these people under the rug. Uh-huh.
They're going to find out someday.
Can I just tell you, I just love the Republican names this morning. First of all, we had Kathy Durr, the teabagger.
Her last name is spelled D-I-R-R.
How perfect is this? The Republican state senator who objects, Bob Huff.
Harumph.
clearly is always in a huff.
All right, leave in a huff. Not too soon, leave in an hour and a half.
Clacking away on his high heels and fainting on the fainting couch.
He's a Republican of Diamond Bar.
There's a bus leaving town in 5 minutes. I want you to be under it.
He charged at a recent education committee hearing that it would sexualize the training of our children at an early age.
You're not teaching sex.
What?
Whatever.
You're not teaching sex.
Leno took umbrage at the remark, saying, I would imagine you've never been harassed or discriminated against because you're gay. I have. See, then I'm guessing he got into a huff because he assumed that he was calling him gay. Who are you calling? What?
You homo! Something like that? No?
The measure is backed by the California Church Impact, a group whose members include the Episcopal Church, the United Church of Christ, the Greek Orthodox Church, and others that I guess they don't think are real churches. Yeah. Okay. Oh, and then the other thing they always bring up, this is what's happening in every budget battle, whether it's, you know, in Wisconsin, whether it's in Washington. Whenever it's something they're against politically, it's always the money. Now
whatever
it's,
it is, I'm against
it. Yeah, now it's the money. Leno says the proposed law would cost nothing. Textbooks would be changed in the next scheduled revision due to be approved by the state in a couple of years. So they're not, you know, every objection they raise are like, okay.
Whatever.
Okay. All right. That's the hysterical news from California. Gaying of the children. Okay. Representative Trent Franks?
Twent.
That guy.
Twanks.
I love him. I've experienced this in person. This hysteria, this Obama derangement syndrome. Mm-hmm. He literally said, I don't know that the country can survive if President Obama is reelected.
Oh, come on.
Hyperbole much? He was the one that suggested impeaching President Obama if they didn't reverse course on the Defense of Marriage Act.
Mm-hmm.
After calling the president the most pro-abortion president in the history of the country, he warned, if he wins re-election next year, I don't know that the country can survive.
Playing all the hits. When you're losing, bring up abortion.
Yes. All right.
And the gay.
Yeah.
That's it for us today. Don't forget tomorrow, David Schuster, Charlie Pierce, and Reverend Jim Wallace. We will see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.